This is CliffCentral.com.
So we're going into the winter season, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to bring one of our friends on here. And we, you know, we've been doing a lot of interesting stuff lately with One Plan. And Sven Lorenczyk is here from One Plan. He's one of the directors there. How are you, Sven? You haven't been with us in the morning. You've been on with Casper. How did it go with Casper? You survived.
It was amazing. You know, when you walk into the studio and there's guys stripping outside, it's all going on. And I kind of had this mental picture this morning walking up the stairs like going, oh my God, what's happening?
Today we'll be a little more civil.
Yeah.
That's not that I didn't enjoy
Mubs
it.
Mubs and I don't ever take off our clothes. Ben sometimes, Sia sometimes. Mm. Not to worry.
Anyway, we ended up talking about my sausages.
Oh, nice.
It was interesting.
So Sven, is it right that people start to make more claims in winter?
So yes. I mean, we've certainly, that's absolutely a fact. So we've seen an upswing in claims during these months, May, June, July, going into the winter months.
And what do people claim?
So it's interesting because the trends are peculiar. There's definitely certain influenza-related admissions.
Can I, if I get the flu and sure. I have to be, I don't know, medicated, I can claim for that?
Yeah, for sure. So
really?
Let's start with the basics. So the one thing that people should be doing is going for flu vaccines.
You think so?
Absolutely.
All right. So this is an ongoing thing. Like some people say to you, don't waste your time. It's stupid. It does nothing. Other people are disciples of it. They say you have to get this flu vaccine. You're wasting your time if you don't.
Sure.
You say you're a believer?
Yeah. So I think that there's enough medical data to show that flu vaccines absolutely help. So there's probably a 40 to say. I'm not a doctor, but I've had a look
at the data. Would you insure me if I did go for a kind of flu shot more than if you'd insure me if I didn't?
So we would. So we would say that you should go see your GP and you should absolutely have a flu shot.
All right.
So that's the baseline. That's where you start. But there's a whole lot of other things in terms of preventative medicine that I suppose people aren't doing during this time. You know that the likelihood of getting sick is greater.
Yeah.
So whilst it might not be a vitamin deficiency, you should definitely take on more things in order to prevent the likelihood of a flu, right?
So what kinds of things?
And vitamin C, zinc.
You're not the doctor here, but these are you know what people are claiming and what people go through and what kinds of things that they end up getting in the winter.
Yeah, and I suppose it's an educational process as well, right? Mm. Like our whole business is designed to try and cover people in the event of an unforeseen incident or a general practitioner claim, etc. But there's also a big educational piece around it. We want to make sure that our clients are looked after, that they're healthy, etc. So in so doing, we want to impart this knowledge. Like go for your flu vaccine shot. Take on some additional vitamins. Yes, there's always going to be an unlikely event of, you know, pneumonia, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, you're never going
to
get
one away. Of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because you guys have all the data.
Exactly.
You can see from what people have claimed and from what's going on when the biggest claim period in the year is and what sort of thing people are suffering from.
Yeah, so it's actually, so definitely the influenza-related stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's obvious. But like slip and falls.
In winters more than in summer.
You're like slip and falls. Like it's
is that those people who I've fallen
throw themselves in front of the car?
But that's a specific winter thing. Like
is it a winter thing? Yeah, it's strange. You know, it's
frozen like, steps.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like there's no ice, right?
But if we had snow and ice, maybe I'd believe it. But
that's the point.
Get that like frozen windscreen vibe, like in the heart in the evilest part of winter. You get that vibe of like where people's, you know, there's frost on everything. Like that's a real thing. I remember that as a kid. I remember you had to get up super early for school, etc.
Take the hot water like, over the windscreen.
Yeah, and I always was worried it was going to make the windscreen crack because that just seemed like what it was bound to do. But yeah, I mean, precipitation freezes on surfaces in winter. It would make sense. There's none of that in summer. There's some of it in winter. I could see there being a correlation.
Slip and falls, though.
Crazy. So it's that kind of stuff that I wouldn't say is an anomaly because you kind of see it happening in a trend.
There's a marked increase.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's peculiar because last year, I think it's the 2015-2016 year, there was just unforeseen spike in medical claims. So if you have a look at medical schemes, if you have a look at the entire medical market, all of a sudden there's a spike in claims. But it's unforeseen events. So now you go like, well, generally, doctors would or surgeons would prefer not to operate if people are sick, right?
Yeah.
If you've got the flu, etc. So planned illness procedures are reducing. But there's things like pneumonia, those kind of admissions that are increasing. But then, 2015, 2016, it was like just a spike in claims, and no one could put their finger on it.
Is that maybe to do with the economy? Because if people feel down and if they don't have a lot of money, they start looking for where they have spent money, and they try to find ways to justify claims that they don't actually have.
You know, it's so strange, and I know it's a bit off topic as well, but there are certain economies where people view the insurance policies like a bank account.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, I've got X amount of cover and I haven't really depleted that cover. So, you know what? I'm going to go to the doctor.
I'm going to cut my big toe off.
So
stupid people.
Yeah. So you definitely see that kind of that coming through, I suppose, but I haven't analyzed those stats, but yeah, I mean, it could absolutely be a possibility.
I'm amazed by that. It's quite an interesting and unexpected thing for someone who's not in the field that you're in, that planned procedures, obviously in winter, there are less of them because people are sick. You can't have an operation. You can't go under anesthetic when you're sick.
Exactly. And you see that consistently over the years as well.
In other words, stay healthy. And if you do have to have some kind of procedure, try to do it in the winter. The doctors have more time and they'll pay more attention.
That's exactly the point. I haven't actually thought about it like that. But that's exactly the point. Yeah. You've clearly been thinking about this.
I'm trying to crunch the data, man.
Flu vaccine. So you like reckon that this is a tried and trusted thing? Because I'm pro-vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I think that is moronic when it comes to like vaccinations for children against dread diseases. But I know a personal anecdote is not evidence, but I once had a flu vaccine, and 2 weeks later, I got the worst flu I've literally ever had in my life.
Don't be a hater.
And I'm like, I just
don't be a hater.
So that, because that could be a coincidence. You reckon it's like, yeah, bad luck, try again.
Yeah. So I suppose what the data will show is that there's a 40-60% reduction in likelihood of contracting some sort of flu, right? But I think it might just have been coincidence that you received the flu. And if it isn't, then I would say that the severity was probably restricted by having the flu vaccination.
It definitely would have been death if that's the case. So.
But I stand to be corrected here. I remember hearing that all the flu vaccine is really just an attempt to narrow down the likely strain that's going to hit your region in that next season. So taking the vaccine doesn't necessarily mean that you're now protected. It just, you know, it says, well, this is the strain that's likely to affect us in this region, but, you know, there are other strains still that are coming at you.
See, so don't mess with my buddy either.
I stand to be corrected, but that's what I remember being told.
So I took a flu vaccine. 2 weeks later, happened to contract Ebola, and I put a correlation between the two and blamed the one for the other.
Now, what else do people do in winter that's stupid?
A lot. But if you're referring to claims and conditions in particular, I don't know if there's any particular event that you see spike in winter. I mean, it's generally the things that I've spoken about. I don't think, other than the slip and fall thing, which was really weird. I mean, yeah, I had a look at it.
Strange.
You know, I had a look at it before
frost.
Coming on the show.
I explained this. It's got to be.
Shut up.
There is frost.
Shut up, Gord. What about, because I think a lot of people would be interested in the kinds of technology that you guys are developing in order to figure out, with all these smart actuaries that you have, where the greatest and the least risk is, so that you can, first of all, keep the whole plan going, so you can pay people out when you need to, and you can still run it as a business. Are you guys developing new patent technology, new ideas? Are you incorporating the latest in sort of technological developments in this respect, the big data crunching, the artificial intelligence stuff that enables your business to make those margins, those areas where there is a little bit of guesswork, less guesswork?
Yeah, so I think just going back to the conditions, I mean, some of the other things that jog my memory now are things like, and I know I'll answer your question in a second,
no,
but
cool.
Just going back to it, I suppose, you know, we were talking about the influenza type stuff, but, you know, asthma, arthritis, those kind of conditions that are probably exacerbated by colds, spells, or you know, by the inclement weather. So those are some of the conditions that I suppose would be highlighted as well. So, but just back to your question. So do we have any technology that enables that, us in order to underwrite our policies more effectively, or enable us to assess the data more effectively? So the benefit of our business and what we do is that a lot of it is based on a bespoke IT system. It's a system that we established over the years since the dawn of our business in 2010, 2011. And the digital nature of, so we don't use paper at all. I know that you've had Michael on the show, and he would have given you a chapter and verse on exactly what makes us different and what we do. But certainly the benefit of what we do and the digital approach to how we administer claims and how we gather data enables us on an annual basis, aside from looking to actuarial teams in order to crunch the data, to collate all of that information and assess where the trends are. So where do the claims happen? Who are the kind of policyholders that claim? Is it the younger, healthier people? Is it the older, more sickly people? What time of the year, et cetera, et cetera? Well, so
Gord walked in here this morning, said he's physically falling apart.
Disaster. That's just old and fat. And then also I have a cold that happens.
Chin up. You're looking good.
Thanks, man. I feel positive. My outlook is positive. And apparently internal beauty shines through. That's what they tell me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all about what's on the inside.
I think Roald Dahl said that in the twits.
Yeah, and Gord, just chins up, dude.
And I'm also insulated chins against the Arctic.
Chins up, says Ben.
Ben. That actually is quite funny.
All right. If you had to... If you had your team of people, because they're insurance actuaries are some of the smartest people. They always had to have the highest marks at school. Then they went into varsity, studied these really tough courses the rest of us will never understand. Has to do with very complex mathematical equations and risk assessment and all kinds of things. If you looked around the room now and you had your team with you, she's got asthma, Mubs.
I've had it since I was a child.
Yeah. So is she a problem? Like, you're going to make her pay more as compared to me?
They're going to make a lot of money off of me.
I mean, do you want to hear the truth? Do you want the sanitized diplomatic version?
No, tell us the truth.
Absolutely.
She has to pay more.
So I mean, that's the whole concept about health insurance versus, for instance, medical aids and medical schemes.
Right.
I think it's important to make that differentiation. So health insurance works very much on the basis that we assess the individual's risk. So we will look at you, we will look at any pre-existing conditions, we will look at your health portfolio. Whereas medical schemes work very differently, and this ties into the whole NHI play. And you know, we can go down a rabbit hole over there. And
We're going to have to at some point. We're going to have to discuss this.
But I suppose the fundamental difference between the two is medical schemes are based on certain fundamental principles like cross-subsidization, open enrollment.
And again, it's a numbers thing there because... Yeah. If you have enough people in it, then if you've worked out the generalities and the averages and the medians
it's
and all this.
Pooling risk.
Correct.
That's exactly what it
but
is.
But what you guys are doing, and this is what makes your model interesting.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you particularly about this, and not just anyone from any insurance company, is because you look at the individual.
Yeah.
And you then figure out, well, that person's risk, do you have a number? Do you have a category? How do you figure it out? Like, is Mabale B triple minus, like when we get rated by the rating
it's like
agency.
Your Uber driver that like rates you on
you
a,
have
on
five
a
stars or 3 stars or whatever, because like Gord was talking about being overweight, would you penalize him that way as well? You have to, right?
I would expect it.
He costs more.
For real, I wouldn't be offended. I'd expect it.
So yes, I mean, we won't give you an A minus and you a C, but there are certain there are certain features and elements of your health profile that we will analyze and then underwrite.
Because I know if Ben was insured with you and if Gord was, Ben would be pissed off that he's paying for Gord being fat.
Ben would just be pissed off and then he'd go in and talk about the insurance situation.
Right? I mean, you would, Ben.
It would seem maybe not balanced.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because you and I have that philosophy, but... our current dispensation doesn't. So I suppose there's a whole lot of...
Yeah, but then you must go with one of those schemes because then you can pull your risk and you can be a socialist and we'll see how it goes for you.
And that's... Well, you know, right. that's exactly what it is, you know.
Because then you're... If other people get sick, you pay.
That's essentially what happens. Major criticism, right? The younger, healthier people have to subsidize the older, more sickly people. And they go, well, what the hell?
Not me.
Yeah. Why do I have to pay, you know, an increased... premium or
and
or
isn't
contribution.
This the biggest problem in places like Europe where they have an aging population?
Absolutely.
And young people in their 20s are going, well, why should I take out health insurance of any kind if I'm going to be subsidizing those old people that I don't even like?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's like. And, you know, that's part of the reason why we're able to charge substantially less.
Sorry.
What's wrong?
No, like, you just have to throw in that you don't like them. Like, they're not, the fact that they're sickly and they're costing you more on your insurance, but
I
you also
them.
Don't like, you know, I don't want them to be happy or well.
You know how
screw
old
people. Screw your hip. Have a crap hip.
Until he becomes 75 himself.
But these are the things that I mean, like insurance, a lot of people think insurance is dull, but this is fascinating to me. This is really interesting because you're actually evaluating people.
Well, it's super fascinating because it's going to play a far more fundamental part of your lives. I mean, we all pay for health insurance or medical schemes or something, and the time will come, 2013, if the NHI white paper is to be believed, where all of a sudden the way in which you interact with health services is completely going to change. What you can claim for, what you can't, etc. Yeah.
So Sia is the youngest of the lot. He's exactly 6 months old. And, you know, so his organs are still fresh. He's not overweight.
We want you. We want you.
His late night Melville WhatsApps to me are indicating that he's trying to pickle his organs, but only because he's just of legal drinking age as of last week.
And I know for a fact Sia doesn't get enough sleep. I get emails from him at midnight, and then he's up here at 4 a.m, so that's got to count against him. How much data can you ask people to give you?
So it's medical data. That's what we really want. I mean, there's certain data like your age, that sort of stuff.
No, it's public almost.
Pretty public knowledge,
I mean,
right?
Mark Zuckerberg knows all of that and more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting. I listened to some of the inquiry this morning, and we digress. But he was definitely under the firing.
He was under
in the front of the firing squad.
But
there.
I'm interested because you guys don't. I mean, a lot of people volunteer information, right? And people will say to you, yeah, you know, I've got this. A lot of people in my family have dementia or cancer, or they've had strokes or whatever it might be. But some people lie.
Well, and that's a major problem. You know, it's you see the same feature in life policies, etc., where people aren't exactly truthful, and we see it all the time as well, where people don't disclose pre-existing conditions. You know, there's a particular health event, and we then discover that condition relates to a pre-existing condition which was not disclosed, which then results
fraud.
In us having to... Absolutely, it's a misrepresentation.
Okay, but then they get cross with you if you ask, are you sure?
Yeah, well...
They're like, they get pissed off. They've lied to you, but then they get pissed off when you ask.
But it's, you know, it's that short-term benefit that they have in mind to say, well, my premium will reduce if I don't disclose this.
Mm.
But when the shit hits the fan, then it's a matter of saying, well, why aren't you covering me? You know, it's, well, like you should have been
can't
honest
win.
Right in the beginning, right? So it's the same as, you know, motor vehicles. It's the same as any short-term personal lines product. Just be upfront and just be straight with your insurer. And that way you know that if the catastrophe occurs, you'll be covered.
So we're led to believe that our approach to healthcare is different across the sexes, right? Supposedly, women, we're more of like, we take more of a preventative strategy, and men basically wait till they're dying before they do something.
Is that
about
true?
Their health.
It sounds like a loaded question.
No, I mean, is it true?
Is that true?
When you look at the data across the sexes and the kind of claims, are there obvious trends between men and women?
You know, to be honest, I haven't had a look at that. But, I mean... my wife would kill me if I said it wasn't the truth. So absolutely, that's right.
It only seems
women
that
are
way.
Far more intuitive and have those things, have their finger on the pulse there.
It only seems that way because men have two speeds, perfectly healthy and dying. There's no like, I'm feeling a bit unwell, let me take some preventative measures. You're at a 10 out of 10 or not even a 1, a fraction. Clinging to life by one sweaty finger, or flipping fine,
finely tuned racehorse.
No, that's right.
Exactly.
I suppose if I had to, with the experience that I have, I would think that is correct. Just because of the level of introspection and self-worth that women have compared to men, so I do think that there is,
and because women are naturally predisposed to being nurturing. I mean, I've often walked into the company of a group of women who've said, "Are you ill or are you looking well?" They know. They get a feel.
Guys don't care.
Guys don't give a shit.
Like, you look like crap today. Yeah. Get out of here.
Oh, guys don't. We're not tuned into that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a homie walks in and he's looking like ragged and death, and you're like, "You're all right, bro." And he's like, "Oh, sweet, sweet, cool." I was like, "Do you need anything? I've got like multivitamins. Would you like a Carenza?" Like, so you dead? No, fine.
It is interesting that that there are obviously ways that people can do both. Like, you can live a healthy life and thereby reduce your risks and your premiums.
Yeah, so my suggestion there, and it's something, in fact, that I did yesterday. I like probably gave them 20 vials of blood and then was lying there like a prune.
Oh, did you have like allergy and liver patch tests?
No, so once a year you should go for a comprehensive pathology, you know, check everything from your cholesterol. So... And it's a bit of a pain in the ass to go to the hospital and have 40 vials of blood drawn. But what's so important about it is that you can exercise this preventative measures in order to ensure that things like dread diseases, et cetera, don't occur later on. So it's just being a bit more mindful about looking after yourself, doing the hard yards now. Things like vitamin deficiencies, you know, vitamin D, vitamin C, especially vitamin C.
They affect your long-term health.
It's like what the studies have shown is that we don't obtain enough nutrition and vitamins and minerals from the food that we eat. It's fact. It's just based on our diets nowadays and the quality of the produce out there. So you need to supplement. And simply supplementing with a multivitamin isn't good enough.
No.
Because you just don't know. I mean, you could be taking in too much of something that you already have. So it's just understanding your body mechanics and, you know, and taking those preventative measures.
Would it be true to say that the more information you guys had in terms of the patient's health and what their medical conditions are and what they eat and how much walking or running they do and all that kind of, the more info you had, the better you would be at delivering the kind of products that they might need, and the lower the premiums might become, because of the more info means both sides win.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's certain competitors in the market that do that really well, gathering medical information about their clients. But that's absolutely the case. The more we know about you, the more we can establish where the problem areas are and where they aren't. And if your risk profile is far more favorable, your premiums will be reduced. I mean, that's goes without saying.
Well, here's a brilliant assessment by someone on WhatsApp this morning. Maybe people slip and fall when they get out of the hot shower and try to run to the closet to get dressed really quickly because they're freezing.
Could be a real thing.
Yeah.
A slip and fall. That always reminds me of those movies where there'd be some person and they'd fall and they'd go, "I've fallen and I can't get up."
I've fallen very badly.
All right. Well, Sven, this has been useful. Very, very handy. If you want to find out more about OnePlan, it's very, very easy. We've been talking to them for weeks now, so we're featuring every time we get the occasion to talk about stuff like this, and we thought with winter coming up, this is an appropriate time to talk about it. You can find out more by going to OnePlan's site. You can also, that's oneplan.co.za, by the way. You can also SMS health to 31664, and you can wait for them to call you back. They don't take long at all. I tried this the other day. SMS health to 31644 for affordable health insurance, as little as 330 Rand a month. So you don't have to be left out in the cold. Right?
Because you might slip and fall.
Exactly. SMS health to 31644. One plan will call you back. It's as easy as that. Thank you,
Sven. Cool. Thanks for having me on
the
show.
Nice to see you, man. Cheers, yeah. Cool.
This is CliffCentral.com.